Please turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. Hallelujah. Now listen very carefully to Tom. This is a nice sermon of a series on entering, overcoming, and occupying. Sermons of victory. We all want victory. Victory through faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. I'm going to bypass a first section of my message this morning, but I do want to say that we've got to come out of the wilderness, and we've got to cross Jordan, and we've got to overcome, because we've got to occupy. The processes of overcoming are not blessed. But the victory, the tension of the coming is blessed. Victory is blessing, but the fighting is not. But overcome we must, because we must occupy. We must be in the land of rest. The scripture says in Romans, if first there be in you a willing mind, there has to, first of all, be in you a willing mind. Now, I urge you, if you're having trouble, not in God, to get rid of every solution in your life. Get rid of everything. Get circumcised in the spirit. Cut out everything. Every little bit of thing. Every program thought about them. Every little sickness about them. Every awareness about other things, any criticism about any group, I don't care what they've done, if your spirit has a little bit of a bitter spirit and a standoffish or a hard spirit towards anybody, then you are not in the right place to say Jesus. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, and then the cross, so they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. There has to be a forgiving spirit, like Stephen also when he was being stoned. You cannot say, they did that, therefore you're going to. That is not the right spirit to keep you from the middle zone. You cannot be hitting your brother and smashing and so forth and entering into the glories of God. We've got to get out of our hearts these wrong spirits, wrong motives. And then you've got to trust God. And then you've got to move out by faith. Amen. Move the same faith. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that the Holy Ghost might take the words of God and impart them to us this morning, to your unworthy servant, that we might receive words whereby we might be sons of God. We might have our faith challenged. We might begin to make active our faith, that dead faith might become living faith. That we might take the immutable words of truth, and we might go forward in obedience to the commandments of God, and begin to help in pieces the enemies of lust and of hate and of jealousy and carnality and bitterness and pride and all those things that are not convenient, that they might not hinder us in the race. And so it's so loud if you might announce that with this morning, for the first words in God, and may the Holy Spirit make all things new in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that the Spirit has led me to bring us a long series on this subject. And in the last series, and I've got a great ways to go. Because God is not wanting us to easily forget this message. We have to overcome and occupy, and being rather slow by nature than human beings. Somebody cut this back down to hear from me, if you will, please. it's necessary that we begin to hear these words, and they keep coming, and the impact begins to dawn on us. It's important that God begins to continually bring this message and bring it and bring it until it begins saturating us and filling us up. We begin to get the point. We begin to know what He's saying, that it cannot lead us, that it builds up, and so this will be something we'll never forget. The impact will build and build and build until it begins to consume us. You can preach a message and then go away and forget a good message and go away and forget it easily. But God is bringing this thing and can continue to bring it until we become saturated with it, until it becomes a part of us, until it becomes something we've got to do. This is one of those things, you know, that if you, get, you ladies know that if you go down, you keep looking at that glass in the window, and you keep looking, and you keep looking, and you keep looking at it, and keep looking, you're pretty soon you're going to be buying. That's why they put things in the window. And you know that when you move and keep looking at this new stuff there down there, whatever, you keep looking at it, and looking at the brochures enough, and driving it enough, and sitting in enough, you're eventually going to buy it. But you fix your mind down, you become filled up with in your heart. And so if we continually get our minds fixed on overcoming and occupying, if this thing begins to saturate us, and we begin to feel this thing, we're consumed with it, we're going to buy this habit. We're going to buy the wearing it. We're going to put it on us and wear it. It's going to do something. It's the living word, become the living epistles, read and known of all men. We find in Joshua chapter 5, in verse 7 through 9, after they had crossed Jordan, that they were circumcised. This is baptism realized in sanctification of the inner man. This has been a Gilgal, which means rolled away. Your sins are literally rolled away at Calvary. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, when you confess your sins, and they are literally rolled away. I meant to say they are rolled away in an actual, practical sense, as far as God remembering them when you confess your sins in anticipation and enjoying with the signing of that contract, when you enter into a covenant or a contract with God and say, "Yes, God, I renounce the world and I will follow you, amen." And you stand up and say, "I'm a brand new man." You are now a covenant man of God. But you haven't ratified the contract. But you ratified a word of baptism, which legally finishes and legally ratifies that contract you make, and which you then have remission of sin. But then you must go on to realize it in your life through sanctification, through the cutting off of the flesh, through an actual work by the Spirit, until that is done literally of baptism is realized in your life in actuality. And then after they were circumcised, and if you want to get into the moving God, you have to get that spiritual sanctification. You have to cut away from things. And then they partook of the Passover feast in verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. They camped in things rolled away and they kept the Passover in the 14th day of the month, even at the plains of Jericho. Before they overcame, there was a fellowship with one another and God, the feast, on the basis of the Passover lamb. It was all on the basis of Jesus Christ, who, as the book of John says, died as a Passover lamb. Gave himself for us as a Passover lamb. And then in verses 11 and 12, we see that they began to eat the corn of the lamb instead of manna. The oil and the wine and the honey was yet to come. But now it's no longer Christ and Christ's, but having cut away the flesh, having had fellowship with God on the basis of the lamb, they now began had planted Christ in them and were eating Christ that had grown up in them. But the oil and the wine and the honey was still to come. And then we find in verse 26, no, pardon me, in verse 13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him
with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, No, but as captain of the host of Yahweh am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, Thus saith my Lord unto his servant. And the captain of Yahweh's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. It's important to know that God is with you. He's for you. Now it's amazing to see the history of Israel that it was not a haphazard, slipshod thing. They went about in all these things that they did, but God was leading them. And you look back and see exactly the times they came, the things they did, the sequences. It is a perfect picture of what we must do in the Lord. And to me, this tells me the fantastic God that we have and the fantastic miracle that he works in our lives. And all the people, although we're stiff-necked and stubborn, wandering in the wilderness, disobey God, receive of God, hear his voice, say yes to God, draw back from God, although we're female agents, although he does not force us to do anything, he has not programmed us and recalled us, he does not violate our female agentship, yet through all of these things, he has brought us across the road into Canaan, and he will bring us into overcoming. He will do it in spite of ourselves, without violating your free will, without making you a slave of his will, he will get you there. Even in your wanderings and stumbling, he will get you there. The mathematical probability and all the maneuvers that God has to do with his people around the world and all the chaotic situations, and through it all, it makes turn everything into a blessing, and everything, every crisis, to work for good in it, and eventually get it there, is such a fantastic miracle. If you can see this, like I'm trying to relate it, and if I'm saying it, it's so fantastic. That thing ought to give you faith in God for your life. They began to enter the battle. And the strategy that God gave them to enter the battle, and the strategy was given in chapter 6, was given on holy ground. On holy ground. That means it's not man's strategy, it's given in heavenly places. When you are in heavenly places, when you are on holy ground, he'll give you the strategy to overcome your enemies. When God's ministers are in heavenly places, in holy ground, they will know God's mind and heart. In the last days, there will be battles. After you cross the Jordan and come out of the wilderness, there will be battles, but there will be greater power of God also. There will be more battles than you ever had in the wilderness, but there will be more power of God. There will be battles, but there will be victory, and you'll end up occupying. So we now step out of coming into the land, entering, and we are now coming to overcoming the land. But prior to overcoming, if you allow me for a moment, there was an entering. And prior to the entering, there were some things said, and things had to be done. Joshua chapter 1. Let's see how fast we can get through this and get to my message in chapter 6. This is background to my message. Joshua 1:2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Which I give, it's already given to us. Now here we see a time element. We see a shift in the calling of God. We see a shift in the power of God. Moses, the old dynamic Pentecostal minister with the gifts and power of God, is dead. Now God is raising up a new leader, new Joshua. Oh yes, they were from the old. They were of Israel still, not from out, but not from outside. But now he has come and there's a shift in the calling and the power of God. It will no longer be done the old way. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee, but in a new environment. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? Now, while he says to his ministers, he also says to his people individually, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I will be with you. No one shall be able to withstand you. There are promises given. And then verse 6, an exhortation. Be strong and of good courage. For under this people shalt thou divide for inheritance, that's possession, the land, which I swear to the fathers to give them. I promise it, and it will be so. A shift of calling and a power, promises, exhortation, not to turn. Don't turn back. Don't turn. I will give it to you. Be strong and of good courage. And then in verse 8, he says to keep the word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Read it. Observe it into you. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Keep preaching it. Keep hearing it. So then, after keep hearing it, shalt thou make the way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. In other words, read, do, and speak. Think it out. Receive it. And keep receiving it, and keep meditating, and then set it in action, and then you'll have good success. You will by yourself. You will overcome. You will be strength and glory to God. But keep receiving the word of God. Don't stay home because you feel down. If you feel down, run to the word of God. Run to the Holy Spirit moving. Run to the body. Don't stay away because you're down. Tell them you're down. If you don't say bring a creeper, stand and settle and say, bring a church. I better run to church. I don't feel like saying, I better come, I better come out of here and go. Faith. The words of God. Don't do as your flesh wants to do. Don't do as the enemy calls your emotions to do. Do as God's principles say to do. You don't feel like rocking with God, telling the church, bringing on God, people praising God, you feel out of it, you don't feel like praising God. Run the church and let the Holy Ghost deliver you better. The devil gets more people this way. They don't feel like it, so they don't feel down by feeling. Run to where the Holy Ghost is moving. Get them to the earth. Run to the people of Christ. Bind together. Good heart when you don't feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, you see the offenses. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Here we see that in the offenses, we must seek ways to defeat the enemy's stronghold. Though I am begun to look into the matter, and seek ways to defeat those giants that have walled you about. Those walls that have walled you about, those giants in your heart. Once Israel was circumcised, Israel went on conquering and to conquer. So get spiritually circumcised, and you'll go on conquering and to conquer. Let's look at my message, chapter 6. Now Jericho was totally shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. Jericho was not locked up until God's people came out of the wilderness. God's people are not feared by Satan when they're in the wilderness. But God's people, when they get sanctified, when the flesh gets cut off, circumcised, they're feared by Satan. As long as the truth is carnal, Satan doesn't fear them. But you let those people sanctify themselves, lay themselves in the altar, cut all your flesh up, get rid of the flesh man, and begin to walk in the spirit, and Satan will make the church. And that's why he fights so hard at the last minute. Somehow, we've got to do something. Call all the demons in hell, as it were. All you have to do is get out of here to communion chapel, the building of a powerful faster, the people are beginning to circumcise themselves spiritually. They begin to fall on the face before God, they begin to live in their flesh, they begin to live in the spirit. We've got to do something. These things are spread across the United States and around the world. Verse 3. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See his gates locked? You know how the gates are locked? I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, all you men with a sword in your hand, the word of God. And they round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 feet shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram tongues. And the 7th day we shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall bear with a trumpet. Now, first rule is to ascertain the will of God. The first thing they had to do is to ascertain the will of God. They had to know what God wanted them to do. The second rule of faith is a willing obedience. First you find out what you want me to do, and God's word is established to tell us that. Then, if any man have a willing mind, first have a willing mind, willing obedience, the mouth to Jericho. I am willing to mouth you on Jericho. And then the third rule of faith is to reckon it done in advance. They started and blew the trumpets so that they ever saw a wall crumble. They didn't say, well, let the wall crumble. Then when I see it, I'll get excited. Well, you better believe I'll blow my horn. Now we know you'll blow your horn when you see the wall fall. You better blow it before it falls. You better start the victory shot before it falls. Because the victory shot by faith shall make it fall. Some of the people running around say, well, when the rain comes, then I'll start victory. Now you decide this is the rain will fall. But everything backwards. Still looking back to it in your eyes. Still trying to get everything so you don't have to have faith in God. Still trying to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Instead of just let the spirit of life tell us what to do and do it. As long as you're trying to figure it out, as long as you're waiting to feel the glory, before you face God and move out, you got everything backwards. Begin to glorify God, and then you'll begin to see the walls crumble. Get in and pray. I'll tell you something about prayer. When you're down and dry, and you begin to pray, and you pray, and you don't get any place, you keep praying, you don't get any place, you keep praying, not getting any place. You know something? You're getting some place. Keep praying, because the day will come, if you seek God, you can have it a different place. You're getting more miserable. You're praying more. You're getting more desperate. You're getting a hunger more. And it feels horrible. And the more you hunger, the worse you feel. And that means there's something good happening. Because before you didn't even kill. And now you're killing. And all of a sudden, in all your dryness, God will break through the cloud. And the presence will be there. You won't grow it up to get more glorious and more until you finally will. You'll wallow in that dryness and that thing until finally it'll break through and you'll be singing the church. And God will have done it. And you'll know it's God. You didn't know how, you didn't know how it came or when it came. You didn't even know that it was going to come. And all of a sudden, it'll be there. That's how it happened. I'm going to confess to that. That's exactly how it happened. Now, God's commands are not in harmony with man's thinking and man's ways. God says, my ways are not man's ways. And man's ways are not my ways. As long as we're trying to think the church of God through, we're in trouble. We will have to ascertain the will of God and be led by God, or we'll do everything backwards. No general with his thought would ever attack a city in this manner. All the elders who come together with good business sense will never decide to do it this way. God has to do it. 15 times around the city is folly. Because every time around is doing nothing. It's not doing anything. As far as the city is concerned. In man's view. It's in plenty in God's view. Faith in God's commands and in God's ways, however strange they may be and baffling to the human mind, is the only wise course of action. Because he's the only one who knows what he's doing. I said he's the only one who knows what he's doing. Have you noticed that God never seems to be in a hurry? You know that? And everything he does, he never seems to be in a hurry. Man is always in a hurry. Man is working parallel ahead of God. The biggest problem with man is he gets ahead of God. He runs from that. He gets anxious and emotional, and he charges. He runs all the time. He writes, he mounts his horse, and he rolls him off, and all the rest of them at once. He's so excited, he can't move, and the hoofs are beating out, and somebody's running, he's shouting and yelling. He's so excited, and God says, hold up! Stand still. Stand still! Stand still! Stand still! Stand still! Well, I'm just stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, well, I thought that man just stand still. He's going to do it. That's the biggest problem a man has. That's right. We've got to get on that aisle. We've got to get busy. We've got to get moving here. We've got to get moving here. We've got to get moving here. That's the thing. No wonder we never get in the place. The biggest problem is when we relax and stand still. Get in the closet and let the hours just go by and let the intention. The first level is you have to approach so you can begin to communicate. That's the biggest problem right there. Most people turn up a storm, can't get any place because they're so busy and they're rushing off and all this and so excited and emotional. They're so busy that they can't get any place. And that's the hardest thing for the human face to do. And the busier you are and the more emotional and excited, the harder it is to do. God said he never seems to be in a hurry.
But Lord, you got to hold up here. We've got all turning to go, Lord. You realize how many cities we got out here? And we're not round and round. One big trip around the city, I'll go home to our camp. One day wasted. 7 minutes to go out and around the horse and come home. Lord, you know, at this rate, Lord, we'll never go turning. Our families are waiting for us. The first 6 days are wasted. And the first 6 times on the Sabbath day are wasted. Lord, I don't want to do this. Why don't we just blast the trumpet and let the walls come down to begin with? Since there's going to be a little bit at the end, let's fool around with this thing. See?
Why don't we just do something? You know, they all grabbed that thing and ran up to the walls, ran up the walls, and like that, the walls would just stand there and say, oh, right back at them. You can't blow the walls down. You can't blow the walls down. So, Lord, look at it this way. We're going to have to do a lot of fighting to get in those walls. And if we're going to go on 7 times on 1 day, we're going to be so worn out by the time we get in the fight. I mean, look, Lord, think of it this way. I said, no, you think of it this way. 7 times around, and then you go in the fight. Let me talk a little bit about God's way. I'm going to show you 8 reasons why God had him do this, that I can see, and maybe more. And I put 7 together in 1 way, and, you know, there is it. God's way is silence of faith and obedience. Out of it, as they say. Now, first of all, this teaches man, that's what God is teaching, he didn't need to be taught. He teaches man that man's own ways and man's own wisdom cannot outproduce God. He is teaching a reliance upon God instead of trying to outguess and outthink God. Brother, if you're in a church and you've got any position of leadership, don't outthink God or you're dead. If you're ever going to get this place in your outreaches and anything you do, don't try to outthink God. Find out His ways and just do it. Number 2, God is showing that He desires to work through man. See men marching around. God's just in flat mass city like that. He doesn't even need man up there. Send a fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah, and it'll all be taken care of. They can stay home and just, you know, accept their wine and bread. No. He shows that He desires to work through man, and He desires to work through faith. And therefore, He has to have something that they got to put out there called faith. You see, because if you can see it, then how do you get a hope for it? Because you have faith for it. You don't need faith to be something you can see. Faith is for something you can't see. Yeah. I don't have to have faith that I've got a jacket to put on that. I can see the jacket. You gotta, if you have faith in your pastor, it's not faith in the pastor to see something that you can see. It's when you can't see it that you can see whether or not you've got faith in Him. It's when you can't see what God wants you to do that you're willing to do it, and you can't see why you still are willing. Number 3, God desires to show man that He can use anything to accomplish anything. And He keeps showing us that in different ways. He doesn't have to have some big thing that makes a lot of sense and a lot of power behind it. He can take the weak and the despised things to confound the mighty walls of Jericho. He doesn't have to have anything special. All He has to have is you. And He can do anything with you. Touching your hand. Well, Lord, just an outstrode. Just an outstrode. But then go out and use it. Shambo. Touching your hand, Samson. Well, just a job under the mask, Lord. Yeah, well, the person's there. Go out and use it. See? It's not regulation equipment. But God is not looking for man's regulation equipment. Whatever you got in your hand, use it. God can take the little thing you've got, and He can multiply it in the barrel, and fill many, many pots with it, and make it nuts. He'll make it big. Next, that God does not want man to try to outthink God. It decides what he must do, decides what God must do, to put God in a rut, so many people try to put God in a rut. Or to trust in ways and systems. So many people are trying to trust in ways and systems. Seminars on ways and systems. 10 ways to do it, and 10 systems, by the passage, take your notes, we're just looking for another way. Jesus said, I am the way. All you need is only one way, and Jesus is the way. It's not systems. It's not ways. It's not means. It's God. Every strategy was different. He was trying to show him something. It's not method. It's strategy. Oh, that looks really good to Jericho. Let's start for Ai. You'll never get the little walls of Ai down. Even though you got the big ones of Jericho, they're doing the same thing. God's chosen is not ways and means and methods. It's God. Some of these churches are trying to go by methods. They're all just smacking around trying to figure out new methods. Methods of revival. Methods of this. They don't work. They produce death. God works, not methods. Every church service is different with the word of God. The strategy is different. He baptizes people differently. He uses it differently. He looks through it differently. He doesn't operate the same way. Different gifts, different manifestations of the Spirit, different administrations, but the same Lord. Also, he's teaching next that although man is weak, although he has spent 7 days not prior to battle, 7 days before he comes in, and 7 times around on the 7th day, so that he is tired time he even starts the fight, he wants to show man that his strength is in the Lord, not in the fact that he's fresh and he's got energy. Now, victory is not dependent upon our energy, but upon his energy. When we are weak, then are we strong, Paul said. But victory wants to use their legs as well as their arms. And so he was showing them in fact as they use their legs as well as using their arms. He wants to show us it doesn't make any difference if they're tired before they start. Have you ever been in a service worn out? Sometimes God starts in you, your soul, that's the truth. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Next, he's teaching that faith in God is never disappointed if you put legs to your prayers. They had to walk and walk and walk to the faith in that, under the prayers. So. All right, you got it? Now walk it out. Put legs to it. Don't just sit there and expect God to do it. Put legs to it. God works through people. Faith without works is dead, God said to James. So put it to work. Faith is put to the test by demanding that we act upon it. You believe the words go before down? Oh, amen. Better God said so. All right, put it to the test. Get out there, get your trumpet, get around the wall, blow, shout. Because you're going to make a fool out of yourself, you better believe it. He's teaching that dead faith is required to be made into living faith. You believe it in your heart, let that faith become living faith, active faith, by acting out that faith. You better act out your faith. You believe God will energize you to witness, then act it out. And then he will. Act it out. Act your faith out. Note that there are 6 days of faith. Walking around. 6 days in faith. As you're walking around. Just like that, so, believing. Somehow, for some reason, who knows. Or there are 12 times around the same problem. Although, even though you have 6 days of faith, 6 days went around it, nothing happened. And although they had 12 times now in their 6 days, nothing around it, 12 times, up to the last time, I understand, the 10th day, 12 times around the problem does not mean there will be no victory. 12 times around, no victory. Nothing happened. The 15th time it happened. 12 times to prayer meeting does not mean you won't get it on the 15th day. Thanks. 3 years about 6 semesters, 7 semesters in Bible college did not mean you went to the call of God on the 8th semester. Victory will come, because God said so. He's a God of victory. When? But when will victory come? After 7 days not melting. And 7 times on the last day. In other words, at God's time. When faith is brought to the full. At the 7th number of completeness. And your faith is acted out and brought to the full, you'll get victory. Now 6 is the number of men. 6 days, no avail. seven times is God's perfect number, victory. The covenant is fulfilled in the millennium, not in the sixth day, the 6,000 years, and 5,000 years is one day of the Lord, but in the seventh day, the millennium. He rules over the earth and got victory. The seventh day, not the sixth day. The victory in the true Sabbath is in the Holy Spirit. So, in the fullness of time comes. Now the 7 days, and then around one time each day, the 6 days, but there's 7 days. And so in 7 days, each it went around one time. Even on the seventh day, it was one time going around. But see, 7 days going around once is a natural Sabbath. But on the seventh day, when you go around seven times, you get the spiritual Sabbath. You have come to a fulfillment of that which that first number seven represents. 7 times you go on at once. They did go on it 7 days, one each day. But on that seventh day, they went 7 times, and then they entered in to the fullness of that Sabbath, that rest, the victory. He's saying here that man obeys God, and there's a cooperation between God and man. When man obeys, God works in and through man, and there's a cooperation between God and man to gain the victory. There must be a unity there. He has to have men's hearts open by faith and doing what he says so he can work through him. There must be a unity between him and God. So keep praying. You may have marked around your wall 6 times. But keep marching. Keep praying. Keep preaching. When the fullness of your faith has come, the walls will come tumbling down, and the giants will be defeated. The next thing he's teaching, the last thing, is to pay no attention to the jeering on the walls. Learn to accept ridicule. 14 times you had to take the ridicule. You can imagine up on the walls what they were saying. They're always on the top one of anyone. Keep the, you know, like they say today in athletics and so forth, I don't know how they call it, speaking out or something. And anyway, you do something to, you know, to gain the psychological edge over them, in other words. And you can imagine in the wall. Hey, what are they doing down there? Okay? And you can imagine the dream that would go on. What are you guys doing? Hunting for a hole? Hello? What do you do? Go round and round and round until you're all in? Ha 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 ha! And a big joke, see? You can imagine all the jokes that are there, and all the taunting. Every day, they can't get through this wall. I mean, we're not even there. We're all scared in war. Shut up. Walls are high. They walk around it and go home. Come back and walk around it and go home. See? Put up to the dream. Pay no attention to what the world says. Let them laugh and scorn and mock and shoot out their lip at you. The obedient and the humble shall in the end be exalted. And the persecuted shall be blessed. And they get the victory. All right? In this one, we see Jericho is shut up. Every carnal heart is a Jericho. Shut up to God. Shut up against God. Unyielded. The city was unyielded. God cannot send him to this people. They were set up to God's people. They would not join him. They would not accept him as Yahweh. They would not allow him admission to their heart and city. Every carnal heart is a Jericho walled up. Every bitter heart is a Jericho. Every proud heart is a Jericho. Every rebellious heart is a Jericho. And those walls must come down so God can come in. So keep marching around these hearts. Keep the trump. To signal the appearance of God upon Satan's forces. That's the prophecy. Now the trumpet and the feet signal God's presence. That's what the trumpet was for. It was to signal God's presence. But the trumpeting roar also implied God's presence, because they would never make an attack when the commander is gone. So whenever you hear their trumpets, you know the commander's out there. So they weren't making a path without the commander. It implies that God's with them. Make sure that God's presence is with you before you attack your sins, your Jericho's. In other words, don't go it alone. because you won't do this in my power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord. He said in verse 5, and it shall come to pass when I make a long blast with the ram's horn. And why did the Holy Ghost say long? Who cares how long it is? God does. Don't smite the ground 3 times with a arrow. Keep smiting it. Get your head in it. Get your soul in this thing. You're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. Long. With your whole heart. Even larger than your sound says, all right, blow. You can blow when you say, beep. You know? Blow. After all of that, they were going to blow the trumpet. They were going to blow because God is going to blow. Put your heart in it. Sound the trumpet by faith. Long. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the priest blew the trumpet. When you hear the minister sound the trumpet, what happened? They did something. They begin to shout in faith. Nothing happens, right? They shout. The minister signals, God is moving, God is moving. Begin to shout aloud. Obedience, move out. He signals, attack. Let's go. Let's go, men of God. Soldiers of the cross, let's go. Hallelujah. Let's move. Obedience, move out and hear the sound. Can you imagine? You sing to the sound of a car. You're playing chess over here and checkers over there and laying around over here and strumming the mandolin. A car! You're laying out there in the lawn. When he says, go, let's go for God, let's go for God. When the Spirit begins to use the commander, and says to the commander, thus saith the Lord, move out against the jerk in your house. Move out, don't just sit there. Move out, the Holy Ghost is calling us. Move out. His God says, blow. It isn't God saying, blow. It's the Lord saying, blow. Because the Lord has already said him, the time is now ready to blow. If the time is right, you finish the course. Now move out. And then it says, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, make that ram, sacrifice, ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shout, shout! With a joy, shout! Well, I know that sounds awful Pentecostal. But when the Spirit of the Holy Ghost brother, you got something in you that wants to shout. When God's moving in you, you got something. I heard a man read a sermon on the radio the other day. And now was it dead. To get all the words perfect, you know, all in the proper place. I know his words were more perfect than mine because he read it and got all written out ahead of time. It was the most dead thing you ever heard in your born days. Reading it. You know why he read it? Because he wanted to get it perfect. No, that's not the reason he read it. Well, yes, it was, but it wasn't. I mean, he wanted to get it perfect. But he didn't have the Holy Ghost to energize him. And so he gave a lousy sermon and he wanted to get it so good. He wanted it so good that he ruined it. He wanted it so good that he did it man's way and so trust in the Holy Ghost. Because a good sermon is not a sermon in which every word is perfect and you haven't made any misarticulations of the tongue. A good sermon is one that reaches a heart with impact in the heart of God. That's a good sermon. And he didn't know what a good sermon was. All shout! All shout! Unity! Faith! Shout of victory! They didn't all shout, oh, yum! See? It was a victory shout! That's a lot of problem. We didn't a lot of shouting, but groaning, complaining. You know? I'm in trouble, God! That doesn't sound like the faith or victory to overcome with the world. Hallelujah! I mean, Jesus walking to all things, faith burning in me. Hallelujah. That's the shout. Faith, according to your faith shall be into you. Faith overcometh the world. This is the victory to overcometh the world, even our faith, not even our complaints and groaning. Remember that. Just crying out and groaning and complaining, turning the victory and shouts and praising to God, believe what he's done, and see the difference. And the wife fell down flat. And the people shall ascend up. Every man straight before him. Now I know that it's an uphill battle, but during the uphill battle, don't you know you're going higher? And don't you know that each one has his duty right before him? They're lined up. They're all lined up here, see. Now, each one has got a job to do right in front of him. Go with me up here a minute. Well, come up here a minute. I got a race for this week, so you won't forget it. Stand over here with me. Go with me up here. Stand over here. Now, right here, there's three enemies. Look at that, three more people. Three enemies. His job is that man. My job is that man. His job is that man. Y'all got it? Okay. Now, let me show you what human nature is. Pick a out here. Look at that, y'all. What are you doing, Satan? Okay. Hey, I'll help you out. Tell me who's going to live. Wait a minute. That's our problem. It's that every man shall go up straight before him. Everybody ought to go to stand. Not everybody else's job. See? Everybody's one, but everybody else's job. I got one job. Him. Not him. That's it. Thank you. I'm going to get it. You've got to get that. Straight before you. You get a job, and your job is a straight before you, and not a straight before him. Am I right? This him. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. That is a tricky one, baby. Wagner always has a reason. He wants to show us something. They don't just turn word games. He wants to show them something. I mean, God can ask that wild on the middle to talk or didn't talk. That's not the point. You shall not shout until that time. All the time you have to hold that in. Hold that in. But I just feel it building, Joshua. Can I shout now? No, hold it in. He that believeth shall not make haste. Then you're not yourself chasing devil because you're in Bible college. You're going to feel the Spirit of the Lord moving on you in the first year. Pray in Jerusalem and tell if you'll be filled with power from on high. Pray until God calls you and he sends you forth by the Spirit with the move of God on you. Hold your peace. The temptation of the inexperienced is impatience. Impatience. Little children are always impatient. How many know that you can't take a whole group of 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds to the circus and have them all stand in a long, neat line waiting for the ticket office? They cannot do that. They never will and never have. They cannot stand. They don't have the patience. They're all over that place. They're bouncing, turning, and twisting. They're in a constant impatience to get that into their place. An older person can go sit down someplace and wait for a while, but not a new one. We have to learn to wait upon God. We're way too hurried to try to... Now, I'm not talking about get lethargic. And I mean, put this in the right way. You've got to allow God to do that work. The leader must keep emotions down until God is moving. There are a lot of places where you want to have a lot of wildfire all the time whether God's moving or not. Just to make it look like they're moving. Just for their shout, see? And you set out in the house to have home meetings. Had a few Lutherans that saved, said the Holy Spirit, and a small group, and hadn't started the church yet. And he began to sing some songs, and somehow just learned a new song, listening and walking and praising God. So they left, and they walked, and they praised God. And so, you know, they learned it by motion, so they did the motion, and it was a good song. So we did this the second time, and they left.
you know, and they wash and they face down. And they did the third time. This time we did it, not another day. There we were, again. And I stopped them. And I said, now, brothers and sisters, listen a moment. I know this will be kind of hard for you to understand in the case because you like to do it. I mean, your flesh likes to do it. But it's strange that the only time you feel like really listening to God is on that song. You're programmed. If new version of the old Jericho march, the Pentecost is selling to. Because God did something once, and you begin to dance in the Spirit sometimes. And then every time, don't do that. Keep your emotions down in the song, and don't go through all these emotions. Wait until God moves. And when the trumpet sounds and God moves, then do it. I don't like this. It's all good God a hand clap. I don't like that. But in our Sunday, I've seen God move until the people just clap, they couldn't quit clapping their hands. You see, it's so different. It's so different. It's so different. Just to do this isn't going to do anything. That's a Pentecostal program. But when God begins to move, you've got to do this. It's different, see. We must learn to keep our bodies in subjection. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Didn't say God knocked them down. Now we know God knocked them down, but the channel was faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. According to your faith, so be it unto you. They believed that God was going to demolish that city for them. He believed that God was going to give an entrance. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain of a wall in front of you, be removed and cast to the ground, and so shall it be. That's what Jesus was saying. As to Jericho, if you can just believe, you can say this mountain, that big mountain wall, be removed. Cast in the sea. You see, in God's time, at God's will, at God's leading, if you believe it, it will be done. Not at your will, at your idea, and you think, and you want, you can't manipulate God. God has to use you. Too many people trying to manipulate God by faith. But faith in what? Only faith you've got is God's will. You can't manipulate God by faith. So that's wrong faith. God's will will not be manipulated. So your faith is wrong faith. You're faith in the wrong thing. But when God wants to use you, and then you believe him, now that's faith on good ground, brother. And it'll happen just like he said. This is the victory that overcomes Jericho, even our faith. This is the victory that's going to overcome that Jericho, the world, in you, even our faith. And because it overcomes the world in you, it'll overcome the world in actuality. Amen. Victory through faith and obedience. And God's ways may not be as speedily as our ways, but his ways are effective. Keep letting God work in your heart. Keep marching around Jericho. Keep believing. Shout the victory. When you hear the trumpet blow, let's move out in God. And the walls will come down. Remember, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You believe it, you'll receive it. Amen. Let's stand.